Life can be unpredictable sometimes, and oftentimes in a very good way. Life continues to provide me with positive experiences, and as much the potential of more. Love and friendship and family. Is there anything else? Oh yeah, sex. It's my unconventional life. La la!
I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? Cut it close this week. Came right down to the wire to get this posted in time. Because I've had my mum visiting and have been travelling and seeing friends so much, it took me a long time to be able to record this monologue and especially edit the interview for next week. Sometimes I have a lot of commitments going on. I've seen more of Erie again. No big red flags yet, but people seem to express concern that either A, she may fall in love with me if we have kids and change her views on what she wants our relationship to be, or B, she could fall in love with someone else and take the kids away from me. And while both are, of course, a possibility, there are plenty of equally legitimate concerns with a traditional relationship. And in either situation, it really comes down to trusting that your partner will put the welfare of the kids first. But my gut still tells me this is the option more likely to succeed. Again, as long as I find someone with authentically the same worldview and beliefs. That's the real issue. I told my other prospective parenting partners about Erie too. Rachel's been out of town a lot for a conference and a few other things, so I haven't really seen her in a while. And I hadn't talked to Supermum for a month or two with our busy schedules, but when we did, she was super cool about hearing about Erie and told me she only wants me to have what will make me happy. She had been in the early days of dating a guy, but couldn't see herself being in an exclusive relationship with him, so it didn't progress. And I really admire her so much for being honest about her feelings. And I know that we love each other dearly and will continue to do so. Nonetheless, in general terms, I have been feeling a little more stressed and not present again this week. Some of it is my routine being out of whack with my mum visiting. Some of it is not doing my mindfulness practice enough. But whatever the reason, I can certainly feel myself slip back into the default mode of living my life largely thinking about the future instead of being present in the now. It's been about a month since I had sex, I think, too. I really should remember it. It doesn't happen that often. But I'm oddly okay with it now. There are some very positive hopes in that regard in the future, but as much as I'm looking forward to them, it's not like I used to be where I'd ache without it. As long as I'm around the feminine, that's enough. Maybe that's why I'm okay with it now, because I have been around the feminine a lot. This week's interview, then, is the second part of my interview with Erie. We talk about our similar worldviews on love and discuss some other parenting issues. I don't know. It seems like it could be a go. And as we had to walk down by the side of the railway line to get to the tree. And my dad was walking in front, and there was me, and then there was a couple of my friends. And he said, "That line next to you, that's electrified. If you touch that, you'll die." And he walked off. And I remember walking beside there thinking, like, he's not even looking at me. I could trip and fall on this white. So what did I learn?
you've got to take care of yourself because that's all you've got, you know? Mm. And I remember my friend's parents, when they heard what had happened, were quite angry, like, oh my God, I can't believe that, like, he let you do that. But that was my parents' attitude, was to just let yourself go and learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, they trusted you.
Trusted me to make the right decision. And I think, to be honest with you, as I grew up into an adult, I was probably the most responsible of all my friends. And all my friends whose parents said, you're not allowed to do that, you can't do that, you can't go there. They're the ones who did. They're the ones that did drugs. They're the ones that would never, you know, use condoms when they had sex or any of these different things. And I was the one that was way more conservative and safe. And I think that came from understanding that I have autonomy and I have the power to make my own decisions.
That's very important. Right. I totally agree. My parents did something similar. So yes, they never said no. You know, they always say something similar. If I tell them, they say, well, you know, this isn't the right thing, but it's your choice.
Yeah.
You learn. And when I did make a bad, you know, terrible mistake, they always say, well, you know, sooner or later, you know, so you did something wrong or bad, truth is going to come out.
Mm.
And, you know, they never really punished me for it either because they already, you know, making a mistake, you know, come back to me eventually.
Right.
And that's how I learned.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, in a way, I think it's similar. You know, they always say, you know, you're kids, you learn by making a mistake.
Right.
So it's okay to make a mistake.
Yeah.
That's what they were.
Now, your dad is a physician. He's a doctor in Japan. Your brothers are doctors as well.
Right.
Is your mum working? Is she retired?
No, she was an RN like me.
Oh, okay.
Nice. But she never really worked. She got married to my dad. Oh. Didn't need to work.
Right. But they were in love, right?
Yes, like, of course, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so if you had a kid, then your mum would come over here? Would that be the plan at some point?
Yes. Or? Well, that's what she kept telling me for the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah? Because
so
she wants
better.
She wants you to have a kid.
Yes. Well, for long, yes, I think so. Until the last conversation, I said she kind of changed her mind and said, why I wanted to have a child? You know, she started drilling me on that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of first time, you know, I've always thought she wanted me to have a child. They've been asking me about it while I was 20, you know, in my 20s.
Yeah.
But I think I found out that she just didn't want me to go through what she went through. She had such a hard time. She had us when she was early 20s, three of us, and she had no help, no support whatsoever. And my dad was always gone, working late. So she, you know, she had a hard time. So I think it's just the concern that she has that, just like any parents would for the kid, she would just worry that maybe I would go through the same thing.
Right.
But I assure her that I have more support than she can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many friends here.
Yeah.
And, you know, emotionally, I'm ready and financially too. So she understands now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And you were actually more concerned about telling your dad, right?
I was, but turn out, my dad is the one with more understanding.
Right.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? My dad died 18 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first thoughts I had when I heard that he was really sick and I was like, oh my God, he might die. And the first thought I had was, if I have kids, he's never going to see them.
Yeah.
You know? That's a big thing, isn't it?
That is, yes.
Yeah, but I've sort of come to terms with it now because I feel, and this might sound weird, maybe it doesn't sound weird because you have the same worldview.
Yeah, nothing makes, you know.
I feel like a huge part of me is him.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are, of course.
And so that being the case, he's still here in me. Mm-hmm. And if I have kids, then he'll be in the kid as well.
Yes.
You know?
I believe so too.
Right. There's this strange sense of, I guess you'd call it unmanifested, in the sense of we all come from something and we all go back into something, and that's what kind of links us all together. It's a difficult concept to understand, perhaps.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's the same thing, but again, back to what we were talking about before, it's, to me, it's the same thing as me saying we're all one. we come from the one, one place, and we go back to the same place. So you are me, I'm you, and so why not we love everyone?
Everyone.
So yes, your dad's still here, and you're part of him because we're all one big love. So
yeah, we sound like hippies.
Maybe. Japanese hippie.
Jippy.
What? Oh, here you go.
What about drugs? Where do you stand on drugs in terms of what would you tell your kids? And I mean, we live in California now where mm-hmm. they've just legalized weed mm-hmm. for recreational use.
Yes.
What would you tell kids about that?
I would just educate them and give them a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like parents were saying, like, you were given choices. Well, I would tell the kids what I learned in school.
Right.
Know what drugs going to do to your body, and they can make their own decision.
Yeah. Well, see, I say my parents gave me choices. They never said, hey, you can go and do heroin or anything like that.
I will never say they can do it, because especially heroin, I know once you do it, you will be addicted, period. And I will maybe even show them a video. This is what's going to happen. This will be your life. And I don't think, any kids will do it after seeing it.
Yeah, right.
You just show them the reality, the videos or, anything. Mm. That's kind of what happened when I was fifth grade, when we had a sex education and drug education.
Yeah.
You had videos and all this thing, and I still remember. That's why I was so scared to even have sex first time.
Yeah.
I think I did like double condoms or something.
That's funny.
So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Because I think if you said no, they'll likely do it.
More likely to do it, for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. I have a much more sort of progressive view than my dad did. And to a certain extent, my mum, she's sort of come around now. Like when I remember telling her about my idea of being non-monogamous, she was like, no, you can't do that. Well, you just want to have your cake and eat it, And like, that's just not the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
But she's come around to the idea now. And I think most people do.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about non-monogamy, most people go, well, yeah, you just want to fuck as many girls as you can. But it's not about that at all.
No, not
at
all.
It really isn't. And when people sort of understand that it's not about sex, it's about love.
Mm-hmm.
And being free to love who you ever want.
Exactly.
How you want.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said about your open relationships, it doesn't even mean that you're going to.
No.
That's not the point. The point is that you're open.
Yes, and then, of course, I love the person that I'm with. That's why I want the person to be happy.
Right.
Whatever the decision he makes. So it's all come from, based on love. Loving someone. If you love someone, you don't restrict that person.
Right. Yeah, whereas a lot of people say if you love someone and you don't restrict them, then you don't love them, A lot of people say if you're not jealous of mm-hmm. somebody, if you're with somebody and you're not jealous of them being with somebody else, then you don't really love them. You're not in love with them. If you're in love with them, that's you. You have to feel it. It's almost as though saying, well, if you have an ambition
mm-hmm.
and you're not jealous of other people who've achieved that ambition, well, then it's not really a true ambition. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, but everyone is different. We're all different. How we wire, how we feel, our emotions are. So there's no right or wrong or anything. It's just what we choose. And doesn't mean I don't get jealous. I do get jealous. It's how I show. I don't ever show jealousy.
Mm.
But doesn't mean I don't get jealous.
Right.
I mean, I get jealous, but I just take it as, it's a normal reaction. Move on. Nothing big.
Do you feel as though you keep emotions inside?
I used to. But no, not anymore. I think communication is important.
Yeah.
So I will tell you if I feel like, I'm a little jealous, whatever. Uh-huh. Doesn't mean anything.
This is what I'm hearing from a lot of people in the polyamorous, non-monogamous community,
mm-hmm.
is that you just need to express it.
Exactly.
You need to say, look, you're not doing anything wrong.
No.
I don't want you to change what you're doing, but I want you to understand that I have this feeling, and it's a valid feeling, and I'm going to work through it. And when you say it and you put it out there,
mm-hmm.
it just kind of disappears almost, It just fades away. I was talking with a girl I'm good friends with in England, and she just told me how she's potentially going to go and start seeing an old flame, an old fling.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's no reason, there's no rational reason why I should feel jealous, it was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just a little bit jealous. But I didn't fight it. I just mm-hmm. sat there and I went, okay, this is all right. And as soon as I owned it and I accepted it, again, it just started to fade away. And then all I felt was sort of happiness and excitement and hope that she enjoys whatever happens, you know, as long as it's a positive experience.
Yeah. When you let go of a lot of emotion, those new emotion comes in, something that you're kind of unexpected, like you said.
Right.
You know, that's a good thing about letting go a lot of emotion. I've always thought, well, you know, crying is not good and, you know, it shows weakness, especially in Japanese culture. But
yeah,
it's okay to cry. If I have a kid, they want to cry, I'll let them cry. It's okay to cry.
Right.
You know, and just let it go. And when you're done crying, come out.
Right. Yeah. Now, you're a nurse and you've worked with kids a lot, right?
Yes.
When you have a kid and it cries,
mm-hmm.
are you supposed to pick it up or are you supposed to leave it in the bed?
I will pick them up.
You would.
Well, for depending on the age, of course.
Oh.
And when it's a baby, of course, you know, babies are pretty, in my opinion, it's pretty easy, simple. They cry for only certain reasons. If they're hungry, the diaper's dirty, or they're sick. Mm. So you do all this, trying to console, trying to rock them, this and that. Nothing worked. There's something wrong, you know. So that's when you're trying to seek the medical attention.
Right. I was just having this discussion with my mum in England when I was back there this time, and she was telling me how, I think it was my sister. Yeah, when she had my sister, and my sister was crying all the time, and my grandmother was like, leave her. You've got to leave her on her own, otherwise she'll be spoiled. You have to teach babies that basically they can't just cry and get their own way. So my mum, against her sort of innate judgment, left my sister crying and crying and crying. And then when they finally went and checked on her, because she wouldn't stop crying, I guess she had diaper rash. Because, oh, yeah. So
she was hurting, actually.
She was hurting, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always different reason, and, you know, you should. And especially when they're still a baby under the age of 1 or 2,
mm-hmm.
you should always console when they're crying.
Yeah.
Once they get to a certain age, maybe 1.
Yeah.
Even younger, you talk to them like, hey, why are you crying? You know, just talk about this. Even though they may not say anything back, they can understand everything you're saying.
Hmm.
So it's always good to talk to them like an adult, not right. like a baby talk, but you talk to them and again, give them a choice. Maybe if they're maybe 3 years old, just throwing tantrum.
Yeah.
Ask like, why are you crying? And they just want their way. Give them all, you know, choice. You can keep crying in that corner. You know, for tryout, you know, timeout corner, or naughty corner, or whatever you call it. Put them there. You can keep crying there, or you can stop crying and come out. You know, but again, it's still the communication too for kids. They yeah. understand more than we think.
Right, absolutely. What about sports and arts and that sort of stuff? Because I think the generation of parents who are having kids now, from what I see, feel as though if they don't give their kids the opportunity to do everything, then they're somehow failing them. Like if they don't play this sport and that sport, and they don't learn piano, and they don't go skydiving, and they don't go to this group, and they're not in the scouts, and they give them such a, I mean, I know examples of friends who have kids and their kids don't want to do all these things. They'd rather stay in and watch TV, you know. Where do you find that happy medium?
I think it's finding the balance. Okay, if the kid is extreme case of not wanting to do anything at all,
mm-hmm.
you may have to push a little bit and say, right. hey, you're going to have to pick at least one sports a year
yeah.
to do it outside the school or, you know, home. That was my youngest brother. Didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
So my parents begged him to do like, you know, please go to like swimming or something. And so, you know, I think they put him in one sports and
yeah.
eventually he started to do a lot of sports and he's actually the sports guy now.
Huh.
You know, so sometimes you don't know, some kids just don't know unless they're being pushed to do a certain thing. And the opposite is me. You know, I wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
And I tell my mom, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. And I think I told you about the good thing about my parents. They let me do anything I wanted to do except well, we had the rule. Once I start doing something new, I can quit for 1 year at least, even though I didn't like it. So it taught me to don't give up right away,
yeah,
but stick with it for a certain period of time. After a year, I still don't like it, they'll let me quit. I think it's a good kind of rule to have.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I guess part of it is things are so expensive for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're doing all these different things, that's a significant amount of money, right?
Yeah.
So if we were going to have kids, we'd just set up a bank account and then take all the money for the kid out of the bank account?
I think so. That may be a good idea. I was thinking like maybe like educational fund, or any kind of fund, maybe have an account open under the child's name.
Uh-huh.
And we chip in like, you know, a certain amount every month or something just for kids. I think that may be a good idea, you know, would make it fair, I think.
Yeah.
And good for kids to have some fund for college or whatnot.
Right. So you just have to figure out how much that is though, right?
Exactly. We, you know, that's something we can, you know, along the way you discuss, okay, how much college is going to cost, maybe like 20, 30 grand a year, you know. Would you even pay for it? Would you make your kids get a scholarship?
Right.
All that kind of stuff, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not necessary, but.
Because you don't know what the situation is going to be like in 18 years anyway, do you?
Exactly.
Right? Especially,
exactly.
I mean, you know, we're seeing now with Donald Trump as the president changing so much of this country already in just such a short period of time. Who knows where we're going to be?
Yeah.
For me, I did get a degree. I did go to university.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what value it really had. Because I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And I always knew I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And I see guys now who are perfectly intelligent and could have gone to university, but they want to be wrestlers, so that's what they do. And they seem to be way more successful at it.
I totally agree. Right. And I think I told you that too. Education is not my thing. Even though I grown up in very educated family, you know, our IQ is probably much higher than, you know, average.
Yeah.
People and everybody study in our family. But me coming here, going through nursing school and just seeing the world, like you said, for example, the car dealership Ford, the guy didn't even graduate high school.
Right.
Look at him.
He's
very smart, intelligent. I think the most intelligent and smart people are the one they educate themselves, self-learning. Because that's when you actually learn the most, not when you're being told, you know, you have to study this and that. So, you know, when the child finds some kind of passion, you know, if they want to pursue it, I will totally back up their dream.
Yeah.
If they don't want to go to college, that's fine with me.
Right, if they just wanted to become a plumber.
That's fine. They can be a best plumber.
Right.
You know, plumber is actually a great job.
Right.
I mean,
what if they wanted to be a porn star?
Well, I cannot stop them, you know, if that keep them happy and they're, you know, if that's, what's the reason, I don't know, like just.
It's so funny, I was imagining having a son, of course.
Yeah.
What if I had a daughter and she wanted to be a porn star?
If they want to raise, save money so they can do something eventually, because not all the girls, for example, strippers and stuff, not everyone are not there to just do it. They're actually in school, they want to pay off their debt. I used to know some girls who were doing stripping in college, and of course they were paying off their debt, or they're just, you know, saving up for future.
Yeah.
So actually they're not what people think they are.
Right, oftentimes.
So
yeah,
I don't judge if that's what the kids want to do and they have a plan for it.
Yeah.
I think the plan is the most important thing. You know, if they want to do something irrational, I would just ask them like, why are you doing it? What's the plan? Where is it going?
Yeah.
That's what my parents always ask, you know,
right.
Tell me why you're doing this. What's the plan? Just like this co-parenting thing, I have to explain what's the plan. So, and if I do that, they understand and back me up. So I think that's the kind of parents I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of see the world in a lot of the same ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, we were talking the first time we met about how I had meningitis and you had meningitis as well, right?
Yeah. What a coincidence.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't believe that things happen for a reason. I don't believe that there's some universal power that's putting everything in place. Because as you know, some horrible, tragic things happen in your life and you can't look at them and go, that happened for a reason. You can say, that was bad and I wish it hadn't happened. And I can learn from it. I can.
That's the reason that you learn from it.
Someone has to die for that to happen?
Sometimes, yes.
How can you look at 6 million people dying in the Holocaust and say that that had to happen for a reason?
It's life, you know. Things we cannot explain, but
I
that's something beyond us, you know. But that's something that I have a complete opposite view. I believe everything happens for a reason.
Really?
Everything's. For me losing my fiancé.
Yeah.
For me going through what I went through as a child, or coming here, you know, I think everything is timing too, divine timing.
Mm.
You know, if we don't meet the certain time, certain way, thing doesn't happen. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's my belief, you know.
Because I'm a determinist. I believe that everything's already predetermined. The whole history of the universe is already being written. This is just a book that we're reading page by page.
It could be, yeah.
And much like a good book or a good movie,
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's really real. You go to the theater, you go to the cinema, and you get excited because you, in the back of your mind, you know that this is a movie. It's already been filmed. These are actors. But you can suspend your disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
I think life's exactly the same as that, which is ironic because if that's the case, why do I care about anything? Why do I worry about anything? And the truth is, I really don't worry that much about stuff anymore because I really have started to look at the world that way and gone, not that everything happens for a reason, but it's all set. This is a wonderful story and I'm just getting to read it page by page. And for whatever reason, I feel like I'm one of, I don't want to say the good guys, but I'm one of the guys who's going to do well in life.
And if you believe so, then that's what it's going to be.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I believe so too.
I've had some bad stuff happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back on my life now, I don't regret any of it.
Exactly. That's what I actually mean by, you know, for me, things happen for a reason. It's because of it. The bad thing happened to me. That's why I am who I am. And I don't regret it, like you said. If I didn't have those experiences, I wouldn't be who I am. I'll be a much weaker person.
Right.
Different kind of person. And I'm proud to be who I am now.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And sometimes, of course, you have to disagree. Well, agree to disagree.
Yeah. Right. I don't think you can find many human beings that agree on absolutely everything.
No.
Right.
You just have to let go.
Yeah. Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Used to be Pepsi, but now it's Coca-Cola.
Really? Yeah, I was always a Coca-Cola guy. Beer or wine?
Wine. Vino, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm going to miss if I get pregnant.
Oh, because you haven't had a drink, are you?
No.
My mum drank when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, sorry, you could have been smarter. I'm kidding. I'm kidding you.
That explains it. Oh, she smoked. I think she smoked as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was telling me that when she was pregnant with my sister, she was really health conscious and she didn't drink, she didn't smoke, so she only ate healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, you know, had many more medical issues than I ever did.
Wow.
And when she was pregnant with me, smoking, drinking, and look at me, I'm perfect.
Sorry, she was sniffing the mic. You probably hear shh, shh, like
Aries got a little dog.
Yes.
It's currently sitting on her lap, covered up in a little blanket. It looks like a tiny little miniature reindeer. A really cute little face. Oh, she's sniffing the mic again. So. Oh, okay. Bless her. She needs affection.
She does.
Yeah. So in closing,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about the whole notion of having kids now, with me specifically? I mean, it's still something we're going to have to spend a lot of time together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not just like once a week when we're in a good mood. Because when you have kids together, even if I don't move here, even if I keep my apartment, which is only 2 miles away, and I come in every day or whatever happens, mm-hmm. we're going to spend a lot of time together, and a lot of time when the kid's crying and whatever else, and so mm-hmm. we're not going to necessarily be at our best, or maybe be at our worst.
Right, that's true.
That's when I think you learn about who someone really is.
That's true, very true.
I talked to my friend Zia, who has two wonderful kids with a wonderful wife, and that's what he said to me. He said, be around someone at their worst, and that's yeah. how you know what you're going to deal with. Yeah. You know? So
that is true. That's why I actually wanted to do with my best friend, because we had an argument once, and we know how to right. you know, deal with that. We just talked it out.
Yeah.
And that's that.
So. What was the argument about?
Oh, gosh, that was such a long time ago. It's probably a stupid argument, you know?
Right.
I just remember, like, we just talked, and like, you know, it's kind of more like, you know, we gotta just agree to disagree and just move yeah. on, you know,
and move on, right?
Yeah. It's easier to do with guys, you know. They don't hold grudges like girls.
Girls can be pretty
but sure. I'm more like a guy, that's why I'm like, yeah, okay, move on,
I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Be the bigger person.
I don't know, being a bigger person, just if you hold grudges, it's almost wasting your energy.
It's on you, right? Yeah, it's all on you.
You know, looking forward in future, not the past.
Right. That's a good idea and a good notion to end things here. So thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for talking. And, keep listening, because I'm going to be spending more time with Eri deciding on whether we're a really good fit, whether we're going to move forward. And you can hear about it all on My Unconventional Life. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. So there you have it. Potential parenting partner number 3. Does that sound a little unemotional? I don't think so. That's just her title. On the podcast next week, my old friend George. I've known George for about a decade now, since I first moved down to Florida and he started cutting my hair. We reconnected recently when I visited the area and taped this interview. He's certainly one of the most conservative viewpoints I've had on the show, but he is a dear, sweet friend, and I truly value his opinions.
Exactly, but that is what you're saying, that you're willing to live a sexless life.
No, because I'd be seeing other people. I'd be dating other people other than the mother of my children.
I hope someday you can see how insane that is.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule.